this weather. Can we thank God for this weather today? I got a little bit nervous. Somebody said it rained last night. I said, no, it did not. The devil is a lie. I said, no, it did not. You'll put that on me, Ricky Bobby, okay? Oh, my gosh. It is so awesome to be here with you guys. I see a bunch of new faces. For those who may not know, my name is Javon. I get the opportunity to serve as the pastor here at our Old Brooklyn campus. You're a part of one church with multiple locations, with people that love God, that want to serve people, and want to worship God even more and more. Man, I'm just so thrilled to be here. Today's a special day. Oh, am I on? Was I not on the whole time? I was on. I'm just a little bit louder. I just thought I got louder and went up an octave or something. But anyway, yes, today's a special day. We are celebrating baptisms, y'all. Baptism Sunday. We have eight people getting baptized today. Eight people, y'all, getting baptized. And baptism, listen, it's not just the number. It's God working in those numbers, if that makes sense, right? It's the work that God is doing in those hearts. And one thing we believe here at Baptist, here at Christ Church about baptisms is that baptisms is more than just it's more than just a moment. It's you committing to a lifestyle. Right? So those who are getting baptized today and maybe baptisms for you in the future as the Lord continues to be at work in your heart, that it's you saying yes to Jesus for the rest of your life, because he has given you the good life by giving up his life, and now you're committing to do that through and through. So, man, we're so excited for today. We also got some burgers. Can we give it up for Pastor Don on the burgers, baby? Flipping. The master chef himself. My gosh, we got burgers and food for each and every one of you guys after. So stay after. I know a lot of you are like, let me get out and beat the traffic and let me go to Cracker Barrel, even though they got the whole new logo and everything. But let me let me get on over there real quick. No, hang out, have a burger, you know, talk to a couple people you don't want to miss. Hey, can you guys give it up for every single person that showed up early and set up for this whole entire service? Our tech team, they showed up early. The engineers that are much smarter than me, that are going to sit closer to Jesus when they get to heaven. Can we give it up for our events team as well? I love my events team. They do a great job. Our parking team, our safety team. Man, it's awesome to be here with you guys and to serve you guys. We believe God is doing a good work here at our church and just through the lives of so many people. Today, we're going to be jumping into a quick passage. Now, again, yes, we're outside, and yes, we have baptisms, but I still got an hour and a half sermon for you guys. So, yeah, the real Christians shouted out. The rest of you repent. No, guys, today I want to continue in the series. If you're just joining in with us, we started a brand new sermon series last week titled Maturing in Christ, right? What does it look like to grow up in Jesus Christ? What does it look like to mature and to become more and more like him? We're planting ourselves in the book of Colossians. For those who may not know, Colossians is just a New Testament letter, a letter that we study and we're going to look at, that, yes, was written over 2,000 years ago, but it still is relevant today as it was then when it was originally written. So if you have your copies of the scriptures, go ahead and open up Colossians chapter 1, or if you have it on your phone, Colossians chapter 1. I'm only going to read a few verses, break it down, and then we got baptisms and burgers. I like that. We're going to call it Baptisms and Burger Sunday. Logan, put it down right now. Put it down right now. Right now. Baptisms and burgers. All right, here we go. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to begin at verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul, a great a New Testament writer that wrote this letter. And he says this: we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, the faith and love that proceeds from the hope stored up for you in heaven, of which you have already heard in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. And all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood the grace of God. You learned this from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, on your behalf. And he has informed us your love in the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your people that are here. This is a gift, God. It is a gift to wake up every morning to remind ourselves of our Heavenly Father who loves us, who keeps us, who sustains us, who gives us every ounce of strength to endure, every ounce of hope to move forward, but also the ability to grow and mature into the people you've called us to be. Lord, I thank you for today and what it represents, that we're not just gathering for the sake of coming together. We're gathering with a purpose, and that purpose is the good work Jesus Christ is doing in our city. We thank you for that, and we love you for that. Would you bless your people out of today? Let them hear just a sense of your Spirit saying, you are mine. This is what I've called you to do. Bless us, I pray. It's in your Son's perfect name. Amen, amen, and amen. Yes. So some of you probably don't know, but I recently just switched gyms that I work out at. And the gym that I started working out at a couple months ago, that's when I switched, I met this pretty awesome gentleman, really nice guy. And I see him up there, him and I go at the same times every time we go to the gym. And, you know, one day we just sparked up a conversation. And I started to get to know, you know, his story, right? You know, the one thing that I realized is everybody has a story, right? Everybody, even in this space right now, and those who are watching online, we're live streaming right now, y'all, outside. Give it up. I love it. Everybody has a story. And he began to break down to me, you know, just kind of where he was to where he is, you know, presently. At that moment, we were talking, and man, it's such an amazing story. He talked about how at one point, you know, he was this weight, and, you know, he weighed this much and whatnot. And he talked about how he lost in over a year and a half, how he lost over 135 pounds. And I was like, brother, what's up? That's discipline. That's awesome. That's great, right? And he talked about, you know, how important transformation and was for him. And but he began to go deeper in this story. And what I mean by he began to go deeper was that he didn't just talk about the transformation of his body. He began to discuss the transformation of his soul. Right? As impressive as I was with an outward appearance, because if you saw his before and after picture, you'd be like, that's not the same person. And he would say the same thing when it came to his heart. That he wasn't the same person. That because he established this discipline, because he established this particular practice in his life, just showing up to the gym. Because when he talked about this, that this idea that coming to the gym did more than just, you know, enhance him physically, but it enhanced him all over. He got to meet some great people, learn some things from certain people, made some new friends and whatnot. And it was so encouraging to hear him talk just about not just what happened to him, you know, from an outward appearance, but what was going on in his soul. And a lot of that had to do with being around other people, being around good people. Being around people that were helping him get from one point of his life to a whole different point to where he actually needed to be. And when I think about that idea, I think about the church. And not just the building I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people. Because a lot of the changes that I've been able to establish in my own life. Now, this is not me here to boast. I still got a long way to go. I'm a broken man, right? I got flaws. I got things. Just ask my wife. She's here. She'll write a book about my brokenness, okay? Right? The book of Javon, the book of brokenness, okay? Right? The book of hypocrisy, right? It's all over, chapter one. But But I can say that much of what God has been able to do in my life has been because of the people he has brought in my life. Does that make sense? Much of the maturity that has happened, right, that has taken place inwardly and produced itself outwardly is because of the community that God has blessed me with. And I want to just say this as we read this passage and study it, that this is the Church of Colossae. This church is a church that is growing and hitting all cylinders, but they're doing it together. They're doing it together. And we live in a day and age where together is a foreign language. We live in a day and age where together really is just our people group. Just the people that we want to be around with, right? Just our families, right? Just our friends that we've had ever since we were such and such, you know, age or grade or whatever it may be. But I want you to know the way God grows you, the way God grows us the most is through the people he gives to us. He brings to us and wants us to mature in a way that we wouldn't never matured without them, right? Now, let's take a step back. Think about that one person who had made such an investment in your life to help you, to get you to where you are today. That person that's outside your family, that person that's outside your people group, that one, it could have been a coach, it could have been a teacher, it could have been a counselor, it could have been a friend from an old season. Friends, I believe that is God's gracious gifts given to you to help grow you and mature you the way he calls you to. And that's what we're reading here in this important portion of this letter that Paul is writing about. One thing that we see is this church, they are growing. If you caught the themes, and I won't read it over again, I'll just kind of paraphrase. If you caught the themes, Paul talks that he's praying joyfully for this church because they're of their faith, their trust in Christ, that their beliefs and their beliefs has shaped the way that they live. And how are they living? They're living as people of faith, and growing in love for one another. They're serving other people, right? Because of their faith, they're no longer selfish people. They're now selfless people, right? They're now being people that are putting others above themselves. And they're loving people in a special way. And not only has God been at work in their faith and in their love, they also become people of hope. That means when scary things happen, hope doesn't leave them. When the things of life come out of nowhere, when the distresses of life come out of nowhere, sure, they may have their moments, but they have those moments firm and anchored in hope, right? And that's a beautiful way. Can I just tell you right now that these are what we call the three virtues of the Christian faith. One way God wants to be at work in you is to help you become a person of faith, and not just any faith, faith in him. Trusting in him. And as we trust in him, he begins to transform us. He begins to change us to help us to become people of love, right? Jesus says in himself in the Gospel of John, he says, people will know that you are my disciples by the way, finish it with me, by the way that you love, right? How you love other people matters, right? God doesn't want you to be stingy. God doesn't want you to always be angry when that person walks in a room that annoys you. Maybe they're sitting next to you. Don't look at them. Okay? God wants you to be a person of love, right? Not a person that's just become a doormat, but rather you can be the place of grace, right? But also God wants to produce within you a person who is hopeful. Right? A person who is hopeful. That means that negativity isn't often the driver of our everyday existence. Because a lot of us, we are dominated by negativity every single day, aren't we? Especially when bad news happens. Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. Right? When bad news happens, your mind just spirals down this rabbit hole of negativity. Right? And you're just negative all the time. But God wants you to be someone who has holy optimism. That's not ignoring the struggles, but a hope that says God is within these struggles, and these struggles don't end the way I'm seeing them. Now, how does God do that? He does that when we gather and come together. Because here's the thing about your Christian faith, friends. Here's the one thing I want you to realize. Christianity is not a private practice. It is a public communion and expression of deep trust with God, right? Which means this, friends, we need one another. We need one another. We need to not just look at church as just a day I just attend on one day a week, right? Or a place that I just, you know, go and I hear a message, and if I like it enough, maybe I'll apply it, and if I don't, maybe I'll look, hopefully next week would be better. No, church is meant to be a place where we are growing in the Lord, and we're growing in it together. We're growing in it together. And I just want to encourage you, some of the best work God will do in your life, some of the work that he wants to do in the area of faith, some of the work that God wants to do in the area of love, in the area of hope, will be done in the presence of being around his people. Being around his people. You know, here at the church, we want to create so many opportunities for that to happen. For instance, we have life groups. And life groups are some of the best ways, not just to grow in Christ, but to grow in community. Right? I encourage you. Again, if this is your first time here, we're glad you're here. We love that you're here. But some of us, we've been coming here for quite some time, and the next step God wants in our lives is to be around and be connected to a group that can help us to grow in faith and love and hope. Right? I'll never forget one of my favorite moments of pastoring was that I got to sit down with this gentleman who had, let's just say, he had a pretty interesting past. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm not going to share his business. That's not for me, right? You know, but as a pastor, I have this thing that I gotta be able to hold their things they got going on. But let's just say he had a very interesting past. He began to talk to me about all the things that he has done. And he was weighed down heavy with this thing called shame and guilt. And it was beating him up every single day. It was beating him up mentally, spiritually, emotionally, to the point where it was affecting him in his relationships and his decision-making and all of that, right? And I'll never forget the turning point in our conversation. He looks at me and he says, "I don't know how God could ever love me. I don't know how God could ever look to me and have favor on me." And I remember just saying these words to him that I feel like just changed the trajectory of how he understood God. And I said, "Brother, me too." That's all I said. I said, "Brother, me too." Because guess what? That thing that you struggle with, brother, I still struggle with it today. That thing that weighs on your mind heavy, it's heavy on my mind every single day. That thing that seems to keep pulling you backwards, guess what, friends? I'm further back than you. But here's the one thing that I know. His grace is sufficient, and his power is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I won't look to my weakness not as a means of God doesn't love me, but my weakness is a means of how I can experience the God who loves me even more. Even more, friends, right? And it was just at that moment that he got to see the gospel, he got to see Christ, he got to see God differently. Because most of us, When we're struggling, what we need to hear from other people is this: me too. Right? Moms, it's hard being a mom. It's hard trying to take care of your kids, not including your husband. Right? It's hard. Right? Men, husbands, right? It's hard to try to be the strong one, try to be the tough one, to try to be the one that you're trying to be, the one who provides security, the one who provides safety. And half the time, you don't feel safe, and you don't feel secure, right? To those who are divorced, that divorce life is not an easy life. It's not a fun one either. Singlehood is not one that some of us choose in our lives, right? Right? Single parents or whatever it may be, how God begins to grow within us in the areas of faith, love, and hope is when we can be present with others and others can say, me too. I know what it's like to struggle in your body. I know what it's like to struggle in your mind. I know what it's like to struggle with these kids. I know what it's like to struggle with finances. I know what it's like to struggle with self-identity. I know, but also I trust in the Lord who helps me, who works through me every single day. Every single day. Here's my encouragement to you as we close. My encouragement to you is this next season, because I believe everybody wants to grow. I don't think there's not one person in this room today, in this parking lot, sorry, I'm so used to being in there. You know what I meant. There's not one person in this space that doesn't want to grow. And I believe the next season of life, the greatest growth God is going to produce in you is when you and I physically get with people He is at work in every single day. As often as we can. As we surround ourselves with people of faith, people of hope, people of love, people of faith, people of peace, that when we surround ourselves around these people, this is the good work God wants to do in us, right? Most of us, we're going to be tempted to ignore this message and choose isolation because we think isolation is the answer. Right? Most of us are going to be tempted to say there's not much more I can give. And excuses will be the answer. Right? But what if the great work begins when we knock down the wall of hesitation and say, Lord, help me to find those who say to me, me too. For the sake of I can grow in faith, love, and hope more and more in my life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the good work you are doing presently here at our church. The good work of faith that is being produced in your people. People are trusting you, God. They're prone to trust in their feelings. They're prone to trust in the world. They're prone to trust in their circumstances. They're prone to trust in their experiences. But they're realizing those areas of life fail them often and make them more and more stressful. But they look to you in faith and they say, this is whom I trust, the Lord my God. There are people in this room, in this area that are growing in love, that you're helping them become people who aren't busy thinking about themselves, but they're busy trying to serve others well. Those around them, those far from them, wherever it may be, God, you are at work in that area. And Lord, you're growing us in hope. And you're growing us in hope in a way that, Lord, that there are areas in our lives where we're tempted to lose hope. But because of the good work of Jesus Christ, it reminds us we have a hope that is firm, that is the anchor for our souls. Lord, you do this good work through the people you are working through. So, Lord, I ask on my behalf, Lord, that you would bring people in my life to help me to become the person you are calling me to be. That you would bring the right people to speak the right convictions, to help me to become a person of faith. That you would bring the right people that I can become a person who is growing in love, growing in hope. Lord, we truly are better together. And this is the very depth of your heart, because you are a God of unity and harmony. And Lord, I pray that you would do that very thing within our church, that we would be people who do more than just gather one day, but rather we would be people who are purposefully gathering with one accord and one mind for one purpose, to look to you and to grow in you together. Lord, I believe some of the best work, maturing work you're going to do in our lives is going to be through people you bring into our lives. Whether it's our way of helping them to mature, that in the end matures us, or they are the ones mentoring and counseling us to mature as well. And Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for baptism, the work of your Holy Spirit, the work of your good grace. I pray for every person baptized today that they would grow in faith, that they would grow in love, and that they would grow in hope. And the good work you're doing in them, you're going to be faithful to complete it through them. And Lord, let us be a church that champions these people who are being baptized towards the people you're calling them to be. From the youngest to the oldest, from the male to the female, I pray we can be a church that can be a place where we cultivate grace, cultivate unity, and we cultivate this the presence of harmony as well too. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Christ's wonderful name is who we pray. Amen.